All right, good afternoon. Thanks, Matt, for those kind words. I got these. Okay. All right. Today we're going to be talking about the subject of homosexuality. You know, I know it's a very sensitive subject, especially in California. I, like probably a lot of you, have friends who are, or acquaintances, who are homosexuals, and, you know, trust me, I do not hate them. And I don't preach that we should hate them either. In our culture, especially in California, you know, we're being told that this is acceptable behavior, homosexuality. And if you don't agree with it, you're called a hater, a homophobe, and a whole bunch of vile things. So today we're going to study what the Bible says about this subject. And before we talk about what the Bible says about homosexuality, it's very important to understand the idea of morality, the idea of right and wrong. How do we determine what is right and what is wrong? How do we determine what is morally acceptable and morally unacceptable? You know, do we accept majority opinion? Do we accept what the political elites tells us what is right and wrong? Do we accept what the mainstream media tells us and how we should live our lives? Do we accept that? Or on the other hand, do we accept the absolute authority of the Word of God? Do we accept the absolute authority of Scripture? That's very important. And let me make it clear right now, and I've said this over before, that if you don't have a God, there is no such thing as right and wrong. Right and wrong is just a matter of opinion. In order to establish right and wrong, first you need absolute authority. And that absolute authority comes from the God of the Bible. You know, that is how you establish right and wrong. And let me make it clear that the Christian worldview makes sense of ethics. The Christian worldview makes sense of right and wrong. You know, I find it pretty ironic, you know, what's been going on in the media, how these unbelievers, you know, they tell us we should not bully people. And that's mainly from the homosexual community. You know, we should not bully homosexuals. I agree with that. That is consistent with the Christian worldview, which teaches that every man is made in the image of God, Genesis 1:26, and Matthew 7:12, that we are to treat others as you would want to be treated. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. That is how we are supposed to treat people. So I would agree that it would be wrong for a Christian to, or somebody to, bully a homosexual. But I can only accept that on the basis of the Christian worldview. I mean, if you accept the unbelieving worldview, that's just a matter of opinion. It's just a bunch of bunk. You know, it doesn't make any sense. I mean, right and wrong is just a matter of opinion. If you accept the unbelieving worldview. And I've always found it pretty ironic in our school system, especially in the public education system. You know, they're promoting these ideas against bullying. And at the same time, they're teaching evolution. They're teaching that we're just a bunch of chemical accidents. They're teaching that we are the product of natural selection. Now, if you study chemistry, what do chemicals do? They react. That's what they do. You know, baking soda reacts with vinegar. Do we ever get morally outraged over that? Do we, you know, the lion is stronger than the antelope. Do we throw the lion in jail for killing the antelope? No, because that's how nature behaves. I mean, that is natural selection. The strong survive. And at the same time, the school system, they're teaching us natural selection. The strong survive. And they say, don't bully. Well, bullying is consistent with natural selection, because the stronger survive. If you're stronger than another person, what's wrong with if you beat them up? What is wrong with that? That is consistent with natural selection. And with that worldview, I mean, you don't have a basis for right and wrong. I mean, we're just chemical accidents. Now, what's wrong with chemical accidents reacting with one another? You know, there's nothing wrong with that. It's just a matter of opinion. I mean, Adolf Hitler and the Nazis, you know, they drove that worldview of natural selection to its logical conclusion. And they viewed the Jews and other people as weak, and they tried to eliminate them. That was consistent with the idea of what is being taught in our schools, natural selection. That is consistent, but the mainstream media will not tell you that. And they are telling you a contradictory worldview. When they advocate evolution at the same time, they tell you it's wrong to bully other people. That does not go together. Only the Christian worldview makes sense why we should not bully other people, because we're made in the image of God. But if we're just chemical accidents, what's the big deal if we fight with one another? Or we react with one another, then something goes wrong. You know, that's what we see with chemicals all the time. You know, chemicals react, cause an explosion, no big deal. I mean, that's how it would be like if we accept the evolutionary worldview of right and wrong. It just does not exist. It's just a matter of opinion. So when we talk about the morality, right and wrong, we have a choice. It's either we accept the absolute authority of Scripture, of the Bible, or we accept the ideas of men who are fallible, who make mistakes. It's either we accept God's word, we accept the word of our Creator, who is perfect and who does not make any mistake, who always does what is right, or we accept the ideas of men who are prone to make mistakes. And Jeremiah 10:23, just keep this in mind. The Bible makes it clear in Jeremiah 10:23 that the way is not within man to direct his steps. The way is not within man to direct his steps. He needs God in order to determine what is right and wrong. And that is the only way you can establish ethics, by having God being the absolute authority to tell us what is morally acceptable and what is morally wrong. And without that, morality is just a matter of opinion, and it just does not make any sense. Okay, so today we will be talking about the Christian worldview and what the Christian worldview says about homosexuality. First of all, let's go to Leviticus 18. It says there, "You will not lie with a male as with a woman. It is an abomination." So the Bible makes clear in Leviticus 18:22 that, you know, to lie with a male as a female, that word lie has to do with sexual relationships. To have sexual relationships with somebody with the same sex is morally wrong. It's an abomination. No, that is God's standard on homosexuality. That it is an abomination, a stink in the face of the Lord, to lie with a man as with a female. In other words, to have sexual relationships with the same sex. The Bible calls that an abomination. Let's also go to Romans 1. Romans 1, and we will start in verse 18. It says there, Romans 1:18, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived, ever since the creation of the world, so that things that have been made, so that they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God, or give him thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools, and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man, and birds, and animals, and reptiles. Therefore God gave them up in lust of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves. Because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason God gave them up to dishonorable passions. For their women exchanged the natural relations for those that are contrary to nature. And men likewise gave up natural relationships with women and were consumed with passion for one another. Men committing shameless acts with men and receiving in themselves the due penalty for their error. Especially when you read verses 24 to 27, it describes homosexual behavior. It describes it as dishonorable, unnatural, contrary to nature, shameless. And those who commit such behavior will receive their due reward, their penalty. That's how the Bible describes this type of behavior. And let me make clear right now, when we look at our society and what has changed in the last 50 years, that homosexuality is not really the problem. It is a symptom of an even greater problem. It's a symptom of an even greater problem. And what's that problem? Men rejecting the God of the Bible. That is the problem. Homosexuality is only a symptom. You know, so is abortion. So is sexual promiscuity. Those things are only symptoms of men rejecting God. And when you read verses 18 and following, it talks about men rejecting God. That when men reject God, they suppress the truth and unrighteousness. They suppress the truth and are not willing to accept it. They exchange the glory of God into something else. Into their own image. They create a God into their own image. That's what men do when they reject God. So always keep this in mind when we're studying a subject like this and morality, that homosexuality is not the main problem. It's man's rejection of God. And when man rejects God, you know, you have moral chaos. I mean, the first 200 years of our nation, the population of this United States of America, they accepted the teachings of the God of the Bible overall. But over the last 50 years, that has changed. And so, you know, homosexuality is just one of those symptoms. And if that continues, you know, we're in for a lot of trouble. Let's also go to verse 32. It says there, though they know God's decree, and those who practice such things deserve to die. They not only do them, but those who give approval to those who practice them. So this verse here does not only condemn homosexuality, it also condemns those who approve of such behavior. And let me make it clear to you right now. If you have friends who are homosexuals and you approve of their behavior and tell them that they are okay, that you are not doing them a favor. You're not doing them a favor. Now, first of all, you know, homosexuality has been described as a gay lifestyle, which means happy. It is not a happy lifestyle. I mean, I've met so many of these people, and they're the most miserable people in the world. It is not a gay lifestyle or happy lifestyle. You know, that's an oxymoron. It's a contradiction. In fact, You know what the average life expectancy of a male homosexual is? 42 years old. They die young. They die real young. It's not healthy. And when you encourage them to continue in their sin, what you're doing is forbidding them from receiving the help that they need in order to overcome such a pattern of behavior. You're not helping them out at all. And more importantly, you're preventing their salvation. You see, every sinner, including the homosexual, deserves the grace of God. And when you tell them it's okay, you are robbing them of God's grace. I mean, God loves the homosexual and all sinners. God sent his son and died for the homosexual, John 3:16. And when we approve of such behavior, and when we practice such things, and we approve of those who practice those things, we are not helping them at all, but we are denying them of the salvation that God wants to give to them. Okay, so, you know, keep that in mind. Not only is homosexuality condemned, but those who consent to the practice. And you know, we're under a lot of pressure to accept this behavior in our culture. But we must stand by the absolute authority of the Word of God. Let's also go to 1 Corinthians 6. Okay, 1 Corinthians 6, and we will go to verse 9. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither sexual immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and by the Spirit of our God. 1 Corinthians 6 makes clear that those who practice homosexuality, along with other sins that are listed here, will not inherit the kingdom of God. But there is good news, and the good news is found in verse 11, that some of these men in the city of Corinth, it was known as a very wicked city of its day, but some of these men became Christians. It says there, some of you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of the Lord. You know, some of these people who are living in this lifestyle changed their behavior. You know, there are a lot of people out there who are telling you that a person who is gay cannot change their lifestyle. They cannot change and become right with God. But the Bible makes it clear that you can change if you're living in that lifestyle or any sinful lifestyle, that you can be changed and you can have your sins washed away through the grace of God. A person can change. So those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God, but a person who practices such things can change. They can be transformed through the power of Jesus Christ. You know, so let's just keep that in mind, because there's so many people who are saying that a person who lives in this lifestyle cannot change. Okay. So before we go on, I want you to write down these verses here so you can understand the Christian worldview and what the Bible says about homosexuality. You know, all these verses here, you know, cover the subject. Okay, now, what about Jesus Christ? There are a lot of people out there who say that, you know, Jesus Christ never talked about homosexuality. He never condemned homosexuality. And such an idea is wrong. Now let's go to Luke 10:16. Luke 10 verse 16. It says here, the one who hears you hears me. And the one who rejects you rejects me. And the one who rejects me rejects him who sent me." What Jesus Christ says here, if you reject the teaching of the apostles, such as the apostle Paul, who wrote the book of Romans and 1 Corinthians, that is the same thing as rejecting Jesus Christ. That is the same thing as not only rejecting Jesus Christ, but rejecting his word. So Jesus Christ did talk about the subject. Also in Matthew 19, verses 4 through 6, Jesus Christ made clear that marriage is between a man and a woman. Marriage is between a man and a woman. Not a man and a man, not a woman and a woman, but between a male and a female. That's what marriage is for. Also in Matthew 15, verse 19, Jesus Christ condemned fornications, plural. And what does that word mean? That comes from the Greek word porneia. And the Greek word porneia has to do with any illicit sexual behavior. You know, it's not limited between male and female relationships, but that word porneia, fornication, does include homosexual relationships, along with other sexual sins. So Jesus Christ did talk about it. And let me ask you a rhetorical question. Is Jesus Christ God? Is he? Yeah, he is. You know, 1 John 1:1-3 talks about, "In the beginning was Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. He is the creator of all things." Verse 14, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us." That's talking about Jesus Christ. Not only is he God, but he is our creator. And who wrote the Bible? God. So Jesus Christ wrote the Bible. And all these verses that talk about homosexuality, since Jesus Christ is God, he did address the issue. Because he's the one who wrote down these verses for us. And not only did he write the Bible as God, but he created us. He created human beings. He created sexual relationships. He created marriage. And he has a right to tell us, you know, what is right and wrong. And he has the right to make rules concerning sexual behavior. And we ought to honor what the King says, what Jesus Christ tells us. So, don't be deceived. You know, Jesus Christ did address the issue. By being God and writing the Word of God, you know, he wrote down all these verses for us. And we can understand, and that is his mind, that is his view on the subject. So don't let anybody fool you into believing that Jesus Christ never addressed the issue. Now, let me make it clear right now that homosexual behavior is not something you're born with, but it is a choice. It's a choice. It's a choice you make when you, just like with any other temptation that is out there, you can choose whether you're going to give in to it or not. If a person is tempted with a same-sex desire, what's that person to do? He has a responsibility to resist that temptation. And when that person gives in, either through lust or through a physical sexual relationship, that's when he sins. But being tempted itself does not mean you're sinning. I mean, Hebrews 4:16 talks about how Jesus Christ, he was tempted in all points like us, yet without sin. But you can choose whether or not you're going to give in to a temptation. Just like any temptation. You know, I'm attracted to women. Yeah, I am. But when does that become a problem? That becomes a problem if I choose to lust or if I choose to enter a physical relationship with somebody who's not my wife. That's when it becomes a problem. And that is my choice. Same thing with a person who is tempted with homosexual thoughts. They can choose whether or not they're going to give in to that temptation. It is a choice. You know, it's not something, I mean, I think it's irrelevant whether somebody's born that way or not. I think it's completely irrelevant Because you can choose what you're going to do behind the bedroom door. You can make a choice. You can choose not to give in to that temptation. So I don't believe people are born that way, but it's completely irrelevant. You can choose whether or not you're going to practice, you know, such behavior. Now, what about homosexuality and racism? We hear so many people out there equating homosexuality with the civil rights movement in the 60s and 50s. And the thing is, there is no parallel whatsoever. No, you cannot control the color of your skin. You cannot choose that. You cannot choose what color your skin is going to be. Now, if I had my choice, I'd be 6 foot tall. But that choice was not given to me. But I can choose my behavior. I can choose how I'm going to behave. You know, there's no parallel between, you know, the racism of the 50s and 60s and homosexual behavior. And, besides, you know, if anybody ever brings that out, just ask them the question. In your worldview, what is wrong with racism? What is wrong with racism? We can understand from the biblical worldview that racism is wrong, because the Bible makes it clear that every human is made in the image of God, Genesis 1:26, and also Acts 17, verse 26 to 28. All human beings descended from Adam, and we are all the offspring of God. We all have human value. You know, I can understand from the Christian worldview why racism would be wrong. Also, Acts 10, verse 34, it talks about how God is not a respecter of persons, but every nation who fears him is acceptable to God. So God does not judge based on nationality or color of skin, but he judges whether or not you fear him. So I can understand from the Christian worldview why racism would be wrong. But if you reject the Christian worldview, what is wrong with racism? Hitler didn't find anything wrong with it, and he practiced natural selection. You know, he viewed whites as superior, and those who are not the same color or who are Jews, he viewed them as inferior. You know, Hitler viewed himself as a natural selector and thought those people should be eliminated. And he acted consistent with the evolutionary worldview. And if you reject the Christian worldview, you don't have a moral foundation to stand on. So ask a person, you know, what's wrong with racism? Oh, because it hurts people. Well, the lion hurts the gazelle. Do we put the lion in jail? Doesn't make any sense. You can only make sense of morality from the Christian worldview. Now, what about homosexuality and hatred? You know, a lot of times we are accused of being haters. Now, again, I can understand from the Christian worldview why we should not hate people. Because Jesus Christ said in Matthew 22, verse 37 to 39, that we are to love our neighbors as ourselves. And also, that all human beings are made in the image of God, Genesis 1:26. I can, again, understand from the Christian worldview why you ought to love other people and not hate them. But if you reject the Christian worldview, again, ask them, what's wrong with hate? What is wrong with hate? There is no making sense of morality if you reject the Christian worldview. I mean, hatred, whether you hate somebody or not, or love them, there's no difference if you reject the Christian worldview and accept we are just a chemical accident. You know, there is no making sense of morality. Okay, so, you know, that's how you would answer that. Now, how ought we to treat people who are living in homosexuality? How should we treat them from the Christian worldview? Let's go to 2 Timothy 2. Second Timothy 2, verse 24. It says there, "And the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to everyone, able to teach, patiently enduring evil, correcting his opponents with gentleness, that God may perhaps grant them repentance, leading to a knowledge of the truth, and they may escape from the snare of the devil after being captured by him to do his will." That is how a Christian should treat somebody who is living in sin. Treat them with kindness, with gentleness. Also in Matthew 10:16, Jesus Christ told his disciples in Matthew 10:16, "Be wise as serpents, but harmless as doves." That's how we ought to treat our enemies. Treat them with wisdom at the same time. Be harmless like a dove. Now, you don't want to intentionally hurt somebody. And, there's been a lot of actions out there that give, Christianity a big name. There are a lot of churches that go, or people who would go to a homosexual's funeral and protest and carry signs that so-and-so is going to hell. That's not how a Christian ought to behave. That is not consistent with the Christian worldview by doing that. It's not consistent with the Christian worldview also making or using gay slurs toward people. And I would agree with what the media tells us. We should not be using that terminology. Based on the Christian worldview, I would definitely agree with that. And the Bible makes that, pretty clear. Also in the book of James, let's go there real quick. Okay, James chapter 3, verse 9. Let's start in verse 8. James 3, 8. "But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God." We must keep in mind, when we're dealing with people who are living in sin, whether or not we agree with their behavior, one thing's for certain: they are still made in the image of God. They still have value in the sight of God. That's why it makes no sense that we would be harsh towards somebody who's living in sin and use language that is fiery and is meant to be hurtful. We are not to curse down other people, but we are to bless them and help them and always keep in mind that they are made in the image of God. And they deserve the grace of God as much as you do. And none of us deserve the grace of God. They need the grace of God. They need the blood of Christ. Every person who is living in sin needs God's grace in order to escape a sinful lifestyle. And we must always always keep that in mind. So it's very important when we're dealing with people that we correct them with a spirit of gentleness and kindly press the Christian worldview and show why if you don't accept the Christian worldview, then you cannot really make sense of morality. We must kindly press that idea. Okay, so we're near the conclusion of this lesson today. And, just keep in mind, we are living in a society that has overwhelmingly rejected the God of the Bible. And keep in mind that sins like abortion, homosexuality, sexual promiscuity, these are only symptoms of a greater problem. And that is man rejecting God. And what happens when men reject God? Well, the book of Judges tells us in Judges 21:25, when somebody rejects God, he becomes his own law. And he does what is right in his own eyes. And when that happens, moral chaos results when we reject the God of the Bible. And when you look at history, and when you look at nations, the great empires who've rejected God's principles, ask this question: where are they now? Where is Rome, that once great empire? Where is ancient Egypt? Where is Greece? Where is Babylon? Where is Carthage? Where's all these great empires that once, you know, dominated the world? Those empires are gone. And when you look at the cause of why these empires have been destroyed, a common theme is the rejection of God. And what you see when you look at their records before these nations were wiped off, you know, they rotted from within. Homosexuality and sexual promiscuity played a huge role. And why is that? Because when we don't respect God's law regarding sexual relationships, that sexual relationships is between a man and a woman. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 1 and 2. When we don't respect God's law, we are inviting ourselves to moral chaos. And the reason God has these laws in place is because what is the foundation of society? It is the family. It is the family where a husband and a wife raise their children in the admonition of the Lord. Ephesians chapter 6. That's what makes a strong society. When you have a mother and a father who are married to one another and raising their kids in the admonition of the Lord, that's what makes a strong nation. And when you study the history of America, that's why America became strong. I have no doubt about it. Because they respected the laws of God, the population overall. They respected the laws of God. Now, that's what made our country strong, because you had strong families within it. But when those families become destroyed, either through homosexuality or sexual promiscuity, when you destroy the family, you destroy the nation. Because the family is the foundation of society, for a strong society. A family, especially a family that is guided by the Word of God. It's not a strong military. You know, America, when they won the Revolutionary War, they didn't really have a strong military. It's not how much money or how rich a nation is that makes a strong nation, but it is their relationship with God. And we must always keep that in mind. And so as Christians, when we're seeing our society decay before us, and who knows what may happen. You know, I know in, I believe it's in Sweden, you know, a preacher was reading in Romans 1, and the verse I read in Romans 1, 18-32, and what happened to that preacher? They threw him in jail. They accused him of preaching hate just by reading that verse. And trust me, the politicians in California and a lot of our politicians in Washington, they want to do the same thing. That anybody who preaches on this subject, throw them in jail and accuse them of preaching hate. Now, never mind that they don't have a moral foundation to stand on. And that could be coming. And so it's very important as Christians that we remain strong as Christians, and that we respect the Christian worldview. It's very important that we accept the Christian worldview as the absolute authority in our lives and not be ashamed of it. What did Paul say in Romans 1:16? I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of salvation to all those who believe. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. That's what Paul said. It's very important that we accept the Christian worldview and we not be ashamed of it. It's very important in our society that's degrading that we also live as a Christian. Matthew 5, verse 16 talks about how as Christians we are to be the light of the world. That city upon that hill. That when that light shines throughout the people, they see that light and they become Christians. And that's the ideal. As Christians, we must live as Christians. You know, it's a shame that there's so many people out there who claim to be Christians, but they are not living lives that are consistent with the Christian worldview. I saw this in college. You know, I thought when I was going to college in San Jose State, that, you know what, in order to keep myself safe, I'm going to hang out with the other Christians. But guess what they were doing? They were partying, they were doing drugs, just like everybody else, sexual promiscuity. They were acting like the world and giving Christ a bad name. And what does that do for our society? That makes us look bad. And that destroys the influence of Christianity. So it's very important that we live as Christians. Not only do we accept the Christian worldview, but we live as Christians. And it's very important that we, as Christians, that we continue to preach the truth in love, as what we're told in Ephesians chapter 4. And so, you know, before we conclude, I want you to understand what the Christian worldview is. So write down these verses and study them on your own. And know what the Bible teaches on the subject of homosexuality. And study these verses. And always keep in mind that if one rejects the Christian worldview, where there is absolute authority for right and wrong, where God tells us what is right and wrong, then you don't have a foundation for ethics. You can tell people all you want, don't hate. Don't hate other people. But hatred just becomes a matter of opinion. And so always keep that in mind. You know the Christian worldview. Live the Christian worldview. And share it with other people. You know, that's how we can change this society. And, you know, it looks bleak right now. But, you know, if God is for us, who can be against us? In Romans chapter 8, verse 31. Okay, so we will end right there. Okay, so at this time, we're going to offer the invitation. If there's anybody here who knows what they must do to become a Christian, you know, please do so before it's too late. You know, as a person who is living in sin, we talked about homosexuality, you need the grace of God. You need God's grace in order to be saved. And God does not want anybody to be lost. I mean, how do I know that? Because he killed his son on the cross. He does not want anybody to be lost. So if you're not a Christian, please do so before it's too late. And follow the commandment in Acts 2:38 to repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. You know, if you're a Christian, if you've strayed from the faith, you know, God still loves you. And God is still reaching out to you. His grace is still available to you. But what you got to do is make that right and be right with God. And we're promised in 1 John 1, verse 7, that if we walk in the light as Christ is in the light, the blood of Christ cleanses us from all sins. So, you know, if you need to respond to the invitation, please do so as we stand and sing.